He is the highest name of all. He has the name above all names. And, you know, there's some names that we focus on here at Christmas. You know, we like to read the Christmas story and see how he was the Lamb. He was the Savior that came to earth. And, you know, the angels proclaimed his coming of being born in the manger. The wise men came and gave him kingly gifts. And I wanted to look at one of those things that we can read about in this story, and it's in Matthew's description of the birth of Jesus, and it's just in one verse. Let's look in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And Matthew says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning or being interpreted, "God with us." God is with us. Of course, Matthew is quoting from Isaiah. And so here's Isaiah writing 700 years before Christ, before his birth, and proclaiming his name would be Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And I just wanted to consider that this morning, you know, as we're out here on Christmas Eve and we're considering the birth of Christ, is that his name was Emmanuel. And the significance that has for us, and you know how much better we are in the new covenant that we can know God as Emmanuel. You know, in the old covenant, they did not get to know him that way, except those who pressed in, and they met God in such a way. And you know, we look at those lives as an example, but yet, in reality, we all are in that place because he has come as Emmanuel to dwell with us. And so really, that's what he's desiring for us. You know, he brought Israel out of Egypt. He wanted to make them a whole nation of priests, didn't he? He wanted the whole nation to have the privilege of entering in to his presence, of ministering to him. We know that didn't happen, though, right? Is that there was a separation because they didn't follow him. They didn't walk with him as God desired, and God couldn't be in their midst in that way. You know, he had to reveal himself through the godly, through the judges and through the prophets and through those who could proclaim his name, through Moses. They saw the glory of God upon Moses, but they couldn't experience it themselves. But in the New Testament, God wants to give us an understanding is that he's Emmanuel and he wants to dwell in our midst. He wants to dwell with us. And so he gives us that promise. And now, I just want to consider the first time we see this name was, as I said, it was in Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ. Isaiah is prophesying of this. And what's interesting is that Isaiah was having children. You know, he would have a child, and then the Lord would give him a name. So you will name your child this. And it was significant to Israel. And each time he would give him a name, have a son, he would speak something concerning Israel, a message for Israel. And it's interesting that it started off with judgment. Now, I'm going to try and pronounce this right. You can read it in Isaiah 8, but the name of his first child was Mahershalal Hashbaz. I probably butchered that one, but that's okay. But it means speedy to the prey. Speedy to the prey. And really, it was the idea that the Lord was saying, I'm going to bring swift judgment. Because Israel, especially the northern tribes, were not following the Lord. And so he was going to judge them. And his method of judgment was the Assyrians. He brought them and took the northern tribes away. And he was also bringing them against Judah. So that to get them to turn to the Lord. And under Hezekiah, they turned to the Lord. And they cried out to the Lord. And the Lord delivered them. And so God was speaking that through Isaiah's child. But then he had another son, and his name is a little easier. It's Shear Jashub, and that means a remnant shall return. So now you see that thought in the sons that, oh, God is going to restore. He's going to bring his people back to that place that he desires them to. And here's how he'll do it, is in Isaiah's third son, Emmanuel. God is with us. And so with this name, there's the thought of restoration, is that God wants to bring his people back. You know, he wants to dwell among his people. He wants to bring them higher. He wants to lift them up. But as we know from Israel's history, it was in the captivity that he met them there. You know, and so often God meets us in our difficulties and in the struggles that we're going through. You know, sometimes there are even difficulties we got ourselves into, right? Because of things that we've done or we've said. And sometimes that's pretty discouraging when we've gotten ourselves into a mess and we realize, you know, I have no one to blame but myself that I've gotten here. And sometimes you can kind of feel pretty downcast and discouraged because of that. But you know, it was in that situation that the Lord spoke these names. He said, you know, if you're not walking in the right way, okay, here comes judgment. It comes swiftly. But then he did not stop there. He kept on speaking. That there was a renewal. That God would bring them out of captivity. There was a rebuilding. You know, he brought them out and rebuilt the temple. He rebuilt the city. He rebuilt the walls. You know, speaking of the walls of salvation being rebuilt. And it was all so that God could come and be in their midst. Of course, that was a little bit later on, right, that they were rebuilding. But the Messiah came, and he came in their midst. And we have a good picture of this in the prodigal son. You know, he's one who made a whole lot of mistakes, and they're all on him, right? You know, it was 100% his doing that he left the safe place of his father's house. He came to a very low place. You know, he realized, I don't deserve to be restored. I don't deserve to be in my father's house. But it says he came to himself and he humbled himself. And he developed a new longing. Oh, I want to get back there. And he, you know, he didn't deserve it, but yet it was as he came to that place that he was restored. And he came and he went back there, and we know his father was there waiting and saw him a long way off because he was anticipating him coming back. But you know, that's the heart of the Father for us. Even when we, you know, it's 100% our fault and, you know, we do things, we can know that the Lord gave this name to Israel. He revealed it for restoration. That he wants to bring us back up, and, you know, he wants to establish us in that place where he is with us, where he opens up his presence. And so that's a wonderful example for us, even in our struggles and our difficulties. Sometimes even when we want to give up and say, boy, is it worth keeping going on? But I think we can all admit we haven't come to the place of the prodigal son yet. Right? If we haven't come there, then we still have hope. We have a lot of hope. Because the Lord is Emmanuel, and he desires to dwell in us. But, you know, God spoke this name to restore his people, but we can also see that how this name applies to just walking. You know, as he dwells with us in our journey, that he wants to have his presence in our midst, and he wants us to know and experience his presence. And, you know, I think about Moses and how the Lord gave him that job, laid him out. Lord, or, you know, Moses, here's your job description. Just be a shepherd to this people in the wilderness and lead them to the promised land. And I think that must have been a pretty overwhelming thought for Moses, as it would be for anyone, because they weren't the easiest people to lead, and right, they weren't always nice and, you know, obedient and so forth. And so as he was considering this task, he must have been pretty apprehensive, because he declared to the Lord in Exodus 33:15, he said, Lord, if your presence does not go with me, don't take me up. Don't even let me start on this journey if your presence isn't going to go with me. Well, the Lord he anticipated Moses' cry, because he said in the verse previous, in verse 14, Exodus 3:14, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. I'll cause you to enter into rest. You know, I think that was while they were on the journey and the rest of entering the promised land, because his presence would be there. God would be with him. And I think that's probably what kept him. You know, going into the presence of God and, you know, meeting with him is probably what enabled him to just face another day of leading an unruly people in the wilderness. They kept failing their 10 trials. How would you like to have that? People under you, and you're doing your best you can to lead them, and you're encouraging them the way, and they keep failing trial after trial after trial. The only thing that kept him was just the presence of God encouraging him and strengthening him. And maybe he got a sense, well, this generation is, they're not doing too well, but there's going to come a generation that they'll respond to the Lord and they'll enter into the land. But it was his presence. You know, God declared that his presence would travel with him on the journey. And it did, right? It's that pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. It must have been such a comfort to Moses and to Israel to have the presence of God with them, the fire by night. You know, maybe some of you have been camping, you know, or you've been around the campfire. It's interesting experience because you have that warm, enjoyable fire, but when you look out, it's just darkness out there, isn't it? Right? It's just pitch black, and then you look back and you have this warm campfire. And you know, when you're on your journey, at times there's darkness there, and you know it doesn't. But when you have the fire, it doesn't matter how dark it is or how thick the darkness is. That fire there always wins. It always shines the light and gives you comfort and warmth and strength. And so that's what the Lord wants to be. He wants his fire to be in our midst to guide us, and you know, his cloud to be a comfort for us. And so the Lord desires to do that in our lives, to you know, experience the dew that comes from his cloud morning by morning. Now, that's how Israel's sheep would take a drink in the morning. You know, it was still a desert, but they would find that grass, and the dew would still be on the grass, and so the shepherd would lead them to that, and they would get a nice drink as they ate in the morning. You know, that's what the Lord wants to be to us. He wants to refresh us morning by morning and to be a fire for us in the night, that he'll lead us in his pathway of righteousness, because he wants to dwell with us and lead us. David experienced this, you know, as he walked with the Lord, and we're seeing this in our Bible study, you know, as he was in the wilderness. In Psalm 23, familiar verses, Psalm 23, verses 4 through 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even his correction. When you're in the wilderness, you'll take anything from the Lord. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy, they're going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Of course, that was in the wilderness. But that was because he was experiencing the presence of God. God was with him, you know, day by day, encouraging him and strengthening him. And that's how God wants to dwell with us. He wants to give us that awareness of his presence. He wants to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, in the midst of difficulties. You know, he wants us to know that he's good, right? To taste and see that the Lord is good, to experience his goodness in the land of the living. You know, Sarah and I have experienced this at times, especially in provision, you know, just seeing the hand of God, sometimes even when we didn't even expect it. I remember one time, you know, I just happened to see this refrigerator on sale, and we didn't even need one. We had an old one, and it was working. But, you know, we came upon this refrigerator. It was really nice. And I asked him, well, what's the price of this? Well, it was originally $1,800, and we got it for like $500. And then I sold my old one for $250. So we got a brand new $1,800 refrigerator for $250. You know, and it's not that we found the deal of the century on a refrigerator, but it's like we saw the hand of the Lord, his blessing, his care for us, just as we were walking. And we've seen that so many times. That's just an example. Now, if you don't find a refrigerator 70% off, don't worry. The Lord's still with you. He can show you in a different way, but that he's with us. And if we will look and we see, we can experience his goodness in the land of the living. And he wants to reveal and show us that he's good, because he's Emmanuel. Now, of course, David had to follow the Lord. Right, it was not necessarily an easy pathway as he was experiencing the presence of God. Right, it wasn't easy for him to walk in the wilderness, you know, on the run day by day, and then sleeping in a new cave, you know, every other week or so, because Saul has found out where he is. Now he has got to find a new place. But yet, the Lord was with him. Must not have been easy for Daniel's three friends either, right? As they were facing that image. And I'm always struck by what an example this is of the last days too. Because the Antichrist is going to raise up an image and he's going to say, everyone is going to worship my image. So here's Daniel's three friends. They have this image and they hear the music playing and they're supposed to bow down. And we know the story, right? They say, we're not careful, O king, to answer you. You were not afraid to answer you that we won't bow down and worship. And so the king gets angry and he makes the fire seven times hotter and he throws them in there. But they're not alone, are they? There's someone in there. And even the king sees it. And that's what's kind of marvelous about this example is God was glorified in Babylon because there were three young men who were willing to stand for him. And they made it themselves available for the Lord to dwell with them. And he did, literally. And in Babylon, the name of God was glorified. And you know, I think we're going to see that again in the last days. It's going to get dark, and there's going to be wicked people in charge. But God is still going to be glorified as people will make a stand, as they'll choose to follow him and do what's right and obey what God is saying. You know, unbelievers are going to acknowledge that God is in our midst. Another example, you know, we mentioned this earlier during Moses' day, right? The whole nation of Israel was going another direction, and they made the golden calf there at Mount Sinai, and they were worshiping that and doing all sorts of silly things, and Moses comes down and he's not too happy. And, you know, he came and saw that, and so he made a declaration. He said, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? And there was only one tribe that was willing to answer him, right? The tribe of Levi. They answered the call, and they made that stand. They were willing to stand alone to follow God. That's not always easy. It's kind of a neat story as you read it, but it must have been challenging at the time to say, hey, our whole nation is turning against the Lord, but we're not going to do that. They must have had some good leaders and fathers in that tribe that declared, no, we're not going to do that. And maybe some in the tribe of Levi even did it because it said they slew their brethren. But you know, that tribe followed God. And in doing that, God was with them. They became the tribe of priests, you know, of those who would represent the presence of God. And so they lived in his presence. You know, the other tribes received natural land. They got to experience the goodness of the land, right? The land of milk and honey. Levi didn't do that. But it says they received the Lord himself as their inheritance. And, you know, in the millennium, when God restores Israel, the tribe that's closest to him is Levi. Levi surrounds the holy city in the millennium. And so you could say their inheritance literally is the Lord in his presence. And so the Lord is going to honor that, you know, even in times to come. But you know, as we stand for him, as we follow him in those times, God declares, I'll be with you. And you're not just going to get a natural inheritance, but I'll be your portion. I'll be, you know, your inheritance. And so as we stand for him in the furnace, you know, it's as we surrender and we realize, or maybe sometimes we realize we're going the wrong way and we surrender to him. Or perhaps there's just an area that needs to change. But as we do that, God comes into our midst and he dwells with us. I'll close with just one last thought here. And it's in John chapter 1 and verse 14. Right? As we're walking, it's not always easy. But as we walk and as God dwells with us, there's an outpouring to us. And here's what John declares in 1 verse 14. He says, the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, the more we walk with him, the more we follow him, and he's in our midst and he's dwelling with us, you know, morning by morning and day by day, the more we respond to him, the more we receive of His grace and His truth. The more we receive of His divine strength, of the light of His presence, of His ability to go in the way. You know, and in one sense, it gets easier the more we walk with Him, even though the trials get kind of more advanced, right? So it gets harder, but yet it also gets easier because we know the light of His presence. His grace is increasing upon us. His truth becomes who we are. It becomes our portion. Because He's the Word made flesh, He's dwelling in our midst. And so, as we gather to celebrate Christmas, let's remember this name. The name above all names, and one of them is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's not a God that wants to be afar off. You know, some people like to keep Him afar off because, well, then they don't feel that conviction and they can do what they want. But when we surrender to Him, He can dwell in our midst. We can walk with Him. We can be comforted through His presence. He can be a shelter to us. You know, He provides for us. He upholds us by His grace and His truth because He's dwelling in our midst. And Father, we just thank You that You sent Your Son as Emmanuel, Lord, to die for us, but also to live for us and to dwell with us. Lord, we just thank You for that. Lord, we pray that You would lead us in Your pathway of righteousness. And Lord, that You would even just, Lord, teach us how we can live in Your presence even more day by day, that we can know You as Emmanuel. Lord, would You come and lead us with Your cloud by day and Your fire by night, O God, and that You would dwell in our midst. Lord, as You dwelt with Moses, Lord, and as You dwelt with those saints of old, Lord, in the fires and on their journey, would You dwell with us, we ask, O God, and that You would lead us in Your pathway and righteousness. Cause Your truth and Your grace to be our portion, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. Merry Christmas.